Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Now I need to remind you that it is God's plan and desire for you to live and serve Him for all eternity. However, there is an enemy who will do his best to disrupt your destiny. Today's message is temptations that disrupt destiny. Temptations that disrupt destiny. Jesus said in John 14:2, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again," that's the rapture, "and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also." Come on, lift a hand and say, "Lord, I thank you that I'm going back into rapture of a church, and I'm going to live with Jesus and the Father for all eternity." Now, if you really believe that, give God a big hand of praise. Y'all that are going like that, well, you know, you can just stay. Because right after the rapture of the church, the Bible tells us that's when the tribulation happens. The worst time in human history is going to visit the earth to judge all those who rejected Jesus Christ and disobeyed the word of God. We're on our way to heaven. Now, you know, we talk about serving God here on earth, but the church does not focus enough on heaven and eternity. In Revelation chapter 5 and 10, it says, "Through salvation, Christ has made us kings and priests to our God, and we will reign with him." Folks, we're going to reign with Jesus throughout all eternity. So we serve God here with one eye focused on our eternal future. That's what God wants to remind us. Always look to the future. Don't just look around what's down here. You need to be looking up, because that's where you're going to spend your eternity. In Colossians chapter 3:1, it tells us that we should be focusing on heaven today. "Since you have been raised up in new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor by God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things on earth." We've got it just backwards. We're thinking about the things on earth. God says you need to be thinking about what's happening in heaven. Now listen, folks, heaven is where you will spend the majority of your existence. It just makes sense. If you live to be 120 years old on earth, you may think that's a long time, but let me just tell you this. You will spend more than a billion years in eternity. Oh, can we do the math? 120 years, over a billion years. What are you living for? Are you living for a dot? Or are you living for time that will never, ever end? And that's where the devil has so many people deceived. He wants us to focus on that little dot of time. And frankly, most people are not going to make it to 120 years. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. I said, let the church say amen. I want to make sure y'all are with me this morning. If I'm talking the truth, say amen. That's much better. Sean, you didn't say amen. See, I can call y'all out here. I didn't use your last name, so all those people don't know who I'm talking about. You're a pretty nice guy, though. I like you. Folks, listen. Heaven is much, much longer in time where we spend than down here on earth. Now, in the book of Revelation, Jesus allows the Apostle John to experience a glimpse of what heaven is like. Now, last week in chapter 4, we touched on it, and now we're going to continue in chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 provides a scene in heaven where the tribulation period is about to begin. So we're going to go right there. If you want to turn there with me, you can. It's all right. We all have different translations, but it's still the same truth. This scene describes what's going to be happening around the throne. It says, "Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne." That's God. "And there was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it?' And he shouted that throughout heaven. But nobody came forth in heaven or on earth or beneath the earth who was able to open the scroll and read it." Now, in John's day, their books were made by scrolls, long pieces of sometimes animal skin or vellum or papyrus, and they were long, sometimes 30 feet long. That's how they would write their books, and they do it on both sides. And they were generally held together by some clay or a wax called a seal. Now, John, seeing this, knew this was a very important book or scroll, but there was nobody who was able to walk up and take it out of God's hand. And so the Bible says, "I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and to read it." But one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop crying. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory, and he is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold spirits of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. And he stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne, which was God." Folks, this person was none other than Jesus himself. "Then all those present in heaven began to honor and to worship the Lord." Listen to what it says. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures," and those are angels, by the way, "and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." In the scriptures, it tells us that there are golden bowls before the throne of God filled with your prayers. Folks, listen. I want you to understand this. God answers every prayer in the appointed season. So don't give up on your prayers. This is one of the reasons why Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to give up. Because when you send those prayers up, God takes your prayer request and he either answers them immediately or in a little while, and sometimes they're just stored. And they're stored for the right season of time to answer those requests. Look at the person next to you who may need some encouragement. Say to them, "Look, God heard your prayer. He's just waiting for the right season to answer it." This is important for you to understand. Every prayer is answered. Come on, repeat after me. Every one of my prayers will be answered if I just continue to believe. Because you know what the Bible says about prayer and faith It says a person who doubts when they ask God for things, they shouldn't expect to receive it. Did you hear what I said? If you're doubting whether you're going to receive your answer or not, don't expect to receive it. The Bible says you have to believe. Jesus said, whatsoever things you ask for in faith, believing, you're going to receive it. Look at the person next to you and say, look, you're going to receive the answer to your prayer. So keep on believing it. That is so important. Now in verse 9 it says, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we will reign on the earth. Now in verses 9 and 10, the angels and the elders mention three reasons why Jesus was worthy to take the scroll or the book. Number one, he was slain. Number two, he redeemed humanity for God through his blood. The Bible says in the first chapter of Revelation, something very powerful. It moves me every time I read it. We were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say that? I was washed. My sins were washed away in the blood of Jesus. How graphic is that? He actually shed his blood to cleanse you from sin and judgment in hell. And number three, he made us kings and priests to God, and we will reign with Christ throughout eternity.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Now, those in heaven are consumed with worship. What should we be? See, they recognize the glory, the power, the wisdom, and the love of God for everyone. And such love and goodness must be worshipped. It's got to be praised. It's got to be acknowledged. Can I just tell you something? No one will ever love you like Jesus and God. I'm just telling you, right? So, I mean, I can understand when you may not, you know, respond when someone says, well, I love you. Oh, I really love you. I can understand if you're not like, oh, I worship you. Oh, thank you so much. Let me grab your feet. I can understand that. But Jesus died for you. Got it? When it should have been you, he died in your place. He shed his blood and washed you in his blood so that you could be redeemed from hell, from the devil, and make it to heaven for all eternity, that billion plus years beyond. See? So these angels, these saints of God in heaven, they are worshiping because of the goodness of God, because of the mercy of God. And we need to have that same type of reality in our worship and in our praise. Now, I know sometimes you're tired when you come to church and you're yawning and you just praise the Lord, but you don't get it. You're not really understanding what Jesus had to go through for you to be standing here, for you to be in church, for you to have a life that is not condemned to spend eternity, that billion plus years, in the fires of hell. They recognize it, and the Bible says they're worshiping and they're praising Jesus. You know what? Psalm 40 and verse 2 reminds us that he lifted us out of the pit of despair. Was anybody in a pit of despair before you were born again? Let me see your hand. Out of the mud and the mire. And he set our feet on solid ground and steadied us as we walk along. He has given us a new song to sing. Praises to God. Many will see the amazing things that he has done, and they'll also put their trust in God. John said, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands of thousands." Quick, somebody take out your calculator. How many is that? Who can tell me? How many is that, Adam? You didn't bring your calculator. Okay. Doesn't matter, because it's a number that we can't number. The calculator would break. The Bible says it's an innumerable number. You can't count it. And with a loud voice, they said, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." It must have been a roar. That many individuals praising God was like a roar. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and underneath the earth, and such as are also in the sea, all of them together was heard saying. Now, can you get this? That was a big crowd in heaven. He just left heaven and he just said, and everybody on earth and everybody in the sea and everyone beneath the earth, I heard them saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever and ever." Woo! What a moving scene. Can you even imagine that? What a magnificent scene in heaven. Countless angels and people, the saints of God, worshiping him. The Bible goes on to say, and then the four living creatures, those angels, said, "Amen, let it be." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever and ever. What a scene in heaven. How many of you are going? Oh, that's just brought every hand. Folks, listen, the devil was once a part of that group. He was a part of the angelic host. He worshiped around the throne. Only God knows how many years and centuries. However, pride entered into his heart because he was so beautiful. God made him so beautiful that when he looked in the mirror, he said, "Hey, good looking, what you got cooking?" And he was so beautiful that he couldn't get over himself. I hope none of you have that problem. If you do, the first thing you should do is wake up in the morning and then go to the mirror. And then you realize, I'm not that good looking. His beauty caused pride and caused him to lead a rebellion against God. He got a bunch of angels to get on his side, but he was defeated and he was thrown down to earth. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12 actually describes his fall. It says, "How have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? You were cut down to the ground, you who now weaken the nations. For you said in your heart in heaven, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God.'" above all the other angels, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north, where God alone is. I will ascend my heights over all of the clouds. I will be like God himself. The Bible says, well, not really. You shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. And that's what happened to him. But then the Bible says in Revelation 12 and 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Folks, listen, the devil himself will be judged and thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. But before he gets there, he wants to keep as many people out of heaven as humanly possible. He's working day and night and overtime to keep you out of heaven. He's doing it any way that he possibly can. And that is why we are engaged in spiritual warfare. The Bible refers to the devil as a tempter. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 26 and 41. Stay awake and pray for strength. You need to do it against temptation. Because the spirit wants to do what is right, but your body is weak. Now, this is a message from Jesus. I hope you all are listening this morning. I want to read what the Lord said again. He said, stay awake. Say, stay awake and pray. Some of y'all are sleeping already. That wasn't strong. Say, stay awake and pray for strength against temptation. Are you listening? How do we have strength against temptation when we are falling asleep instead of praying? When we refuse to get up early in the morning and pray? That is how so many people fall, because they don't pray. Jesus said, look, I understand your spirit wants to do what is right, but I'm just going to tell you, your flesh is weak. Folks, I have to tell you the truth. You have a part of yourself, even as a born-again believer, that is weak. And the way that you strengthen yourself is through prayer. You've got to pray. You've got to seek God's face. You've got to study the Word of God. Because all of those things are what strengthens you spiritually to stand up against the flesh in which you live in. Now, what is temptation? Temptation is described as sinful, immediate, pleasurable desire that disrupts an individual's ability to wait for the long-term goal that they hope to obtain. Well, in this case, heaven. In this case, I want to live for God and fulfill my destiny. And temptation is knocking at my door saying, hey, do this instead. It feels good. Now, everybody experiences temptation. You will never get to a place in your life where you will not be tempted. Sometimes this experience may seem faint with a whisper. And other times it's like an unbearable shout in your mind. Just do it! What are you waiting for? Temptation is an enticement to live beyond God-given boundaries. And we all are tempted that way. Question is what are you doing about your temptation? Are you praying?
This concludes part one of the message today. Join us tomorrow for part two.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of the message for today is Temptations That Disrupt Destiny, Part 1. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
Father, I thank you for these faithful listeners. Your word says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver and honor him. Father, I pray that you would deliver all those who need deliverance today in every area of their lives. We trust you today, Lord, to make a way for us. Father, you see the time in which we live. You see the difficulties in which we encounter. And we just thank you today because you are near to all those that call upon you, to all those who call upon you in truth. And so, Lord, we come through the precious name of your Son, Jesus, asking you to intervene on our behalf. We rebuke sickness, disease, pain. We come against anything opposing us and coming against us. We thank you for divine intervention and deliverance today. All in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.